God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, Matthew chapter 2, previously read. In the name of Jesus, born of Mary, born to be our King, dear fellow redeemed. If I were to ask you to give me the name of someone that you would consider to be a polarizing figure, somebody who kind of divides people into groups, supporters and detractors, who might you name? Yes, Donald Trump. Maybe Ted Thompson. Maybe Barack Obama. Matt Lauer. Whoopi Goldberg. How about Jesus Christ? If you think about it, in Jesus' day, there were two camps. There were those who saw him as God and those who thought he was the devil. Those who wanted to worship him and those who wanted to crucify him. But you realize that double reaction to Jesus didn't start when he became an adult. It already began when he was a baby. In our text for today, we have an excellent example of that twofold reaction to the Christ. On the one hand, you had the Magi who wanted to worship him. On the other hand, you had King Herod who wanted to kill him. Both attitudes are still evident in our world today and sometimes even in our own hearts and lives, which requires us to ask the question, how will you react to the Christ child? Will you feel threatened? Will you feign devotion? Or will you bow down? First, will you feel threatened by the Christ child? Now, at first blush, the whole idea of being threatened by a baby is kind of absurd, right? Who goes into a maternity ward worried that they're going to be, you know, beaten down by some baby? Who feels like, oh, I better wrestle that kid to the ground before I make sure I show him who's boss? No, we're typically not threatened by babies, although someone once was. You know his name. His name is Herod, right? When the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where's the one born to be the king of the Jews? How did Herod react? Matthew tells us. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Literally, he was shaken up. He was agitated. And not just him, but as Matthew says, all Jerusalem with him. The question is, why? Why was Herod and all of Jerusalem disturbed at the news that the king of the Jews had been born? Wouldn't that be good news? Well, not if you are a paranoid non-Jewish ruler who's trying to keep control over the land of Judea. Not if you were a man who's already killed his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, his mother, his wife, and three of his sons because he saw them to be a threat to his throne. When Herod catches wind that there's someone who's arrived on the scene who the Old Testament scriptures predicted would be the king of the Jews, he freaks out, and all of Jerusalem with him. They're all worried about what Herod would do. They'd seen what he's done in the past when he saw these threats, and they're afraid what's going to happen this time. But tell me, is Herod the only one who's felt threatened by Jesus. Think back to Jesus' day. How about the chief priests and the teachers of the law who saw Jesus as a threat? They thought his popularity was going to mean that they were going to lose their positions of authority. And so they plotted to kill him. How about today? When people say things like, "Oh no, Christianity is way too narrow-minded for me, too judgmental. I have an open mind. I'm open to all religions. I want to be able to believe. I want to be able to do the things that I want to do." In fact, isn't there something in us that sometimes thinks the same way? I want to do what I want to do. Isn't every sin, in its very essence, a way of saying, "Not your will, Lord, but mine be done"? Or as King Herod put it, "I don't want Jesus to be the king, I want to be the king." Now you realize going around telling people, "I want to be the king, I want to have it my way," isn't exactly a way to win any popularity contests. When people hear you say, "I want to be God," especially if it means dissing little baby Jesus, that's not popular. That was the dilemma that Herod faced. Even though he saw little baby Jesus as a threat, he couldn't come out and say that. No. So what does he do? He fakes it. He fakes his devotion to the King of the Jews. Which brings us back to our original question. How will you react to the Christ child? Will you too feign devotion? Is that what Herod did? Herod couldn't come right out and say, "Well, I'm really an egotistical maniac who feels threatened by anybody who's trying to usurp my power, and so I want him dead." Can't say that. That's not politically correct, especially when you've got these foreign ambassadors coming to your country to pay honor to this suddenly famous citizen of yours. You can't say, "Well, I'm jealous of that little kid." No, he's got to kind of do what? He goes with the flow. He kind of pretends. How does Matthew put it? "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" Isn't it ironic that the man who very shortly is going to order that all the baby boys 2 years and under in the vicinity of Bethlehem be put to death, isn't it ironic that this is the man who now says he's going to worship one of those babies? Maybe that's not so unusual. How many people today say, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I want to worship Christ, but I don't want him to rule my heart. I'll go through the motions. I want to look good to the people around me, so I'll come to worship, but I'll be worshiping in my heart something other than God." In fact, could you and I be guilty of the same? Going through the motions without giving God our heart. Could it be true that what Jesus said of the people in his day is true of us? "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Too often, we're the ones who are guilty of hypocrisy. Put on a show. Say you're a Christian, but don't live like it. You realize that's what gives God every reason to abandon us forever, to kick us out of his world and kick us into the outer darkness forever. But that's not what God did. Instead of kicking us out of his world, what did he do? He came into our world. He became one of us. He took on flesh and blood and was born as a little baby in Bethlehem. You might say he abandoned his throne in heaven and instead took up residence in the womb of a virgin woman. And then took up residence in a manger. And then in a house somewhere in Bethlehem, which is where those wise men, led by the star, came to see him and recognize that this child that didn't look like a king was a king. And they worshiped him accordingly. The question is, will you and I do the same? Or to put it another way, how will you react to the Christ child? Will you bow down? That's what the Magi did, right? Matthew tells us, on coming to the house, they saw the child with its mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. You know, someone might ask, why did these men give a baby gifts like that? Gold? What's a baby need gold for? What, he's got all these medical bills he needs to pay? No. Why incense? I mean, children are not supposed to play with fire. Why would you give it incense? Or myrrh, this sticky, smelly resin that they use to embalm human bodies? Why would a baby need that? I mean, wouldn't it be more appropriate to give the baby like a rattle or some diapers? These men weren't giving Jesus these gifts because Jesus needed them, because Jesus saw value in them. No, they were giving these gifts because they saw value in them. These were important to them. These were precious to them. They recognized Jesus was their king, and they wanted to give him their best and their finest gifts. Isn't the same thing still true today? Jesus doesn't need our offerings. He already owns everything in the universe. No, we give Jesus our gifts because we value them. Whether the gifts are our time or our money, we're saying, God, this is how important you are to me. I want you to have my best. But maybe even the more fundamental question is not why did they give the gifts they did, but what are they doing there in the first place? What prompted these men to travel hundreds of miles to come and look for a baby? There's really only one answer, and it's simply this. Somehow, God revealed to these men that their Savior from sin had been born. Maybe if these men were from Babylon, and that's very likely, maybe while the Jews were held in captivity in the land of Babylon, they shared the Old Testament prophecies about a coming Messiah. I mean, Scripture tells us that Daniel in the lion's den, was appointed the head of all the Magi in Babylon. Is it so hard to believe that he might have shared with them some Old Testament prophecies like Numbers 24? A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Or maybe these men came from even further than Babylon. Maybe they came from Sheba, modern-day Yemen. which would be a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy we just read. All from Sheba will come, bearing what? Gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Regardless of how the Magi learned about the Christ, the fact is the Holy Spirit led them to see who He really is. He's not a threat to their authority, but rather was their Savior from sin, the solution to their greatest problem. Again, isn't the same thing still true today for you and me? By the power of the Holy Spirit, working through His Word and Sacrament, God has allowed us to see Jesus for who He really is. He's not someone who's come to threaten us, to rob us of our freedoms, to force us to bow the knee. He's come to rescue us from the evil forces inside of us and around us. And that's why we're not afraid to call Jesus our King, our Lord. We're not afraid to invite Him to pray, God, establish Your kingdom in my heart. Kick the old man, that selfish, sinful nature, off the throne and put Yourself there. Rule my heart with Your Word, with Your love, with Your mercy. For then, and only then, can I offer a life of worship and thanks and praise. Just as wise men and wise women have been doing for centuries. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.